Hello, welcome back. Let us look at some of the other standards, processes and guidelines. Having looked at some of the standards like ISO, ISO 9001, PCI DSS, ITSM, ITIL, let us look at some of the other standards and processes. So in this session, we will look at risk management principles and guidelines. Specifically around ISO 31000 2018. We will look at CC, that is the common criteria for information technology security evaluation. We then look at SQUARE, that is software product quality requirements and evaluation. Again, it's part of ISO 25010. We look at intellectual property rights, patents, trademarks, trade secrets, how they are important and relevant in today's world. We then look at critical information protection. And then finally, we will look at process assessment or ISO 15504. So let's start with risk management principles and guidelines. So as you can see, this is part of ISO 31000 2018. So risk management principle, or that's the underlying theme for ISO 31000. In real life, we manage risk consciously or unconsciously, but very rarely systematically. So systematically, what I mean is you maintain a risk register, you list down option A, option B, then you list down what are the risks involved, etc. So we do it generally. I mean, we manage the risk consciously, but there is no systematic approach to it. Managing risk is trying to maximize the opportunities we get so that we avoid surprises and we minimize the threats. Risk in the standard is defined as the effect of uncertainty on objectives. So what is the final outcome that you have, that you envisage, and what is the effect of that uncertainty on the final objective? So that is how you manage risk. So threat is any circumstance or event with the potential to cause a harm to the information system in the form of destruction, disclosure, adverse modification of data, and or denial of service. Now it could be anything, right? And risk can manifest itself into many different flavors. So it could be a financial risk, it could be a service risk where, say, the service itself is unavailable. Service unavailability means, and it could give rise to financial risk as well, because if service is unavailable and you are bound by some kind of SLA, that is a service level warranty. And if you breach that SLA because of a service outage, which means you have to pay certain penalties, which can lead to financial losses. Security risks, again, if the systems are not properly secure, you don't, if the customer data is not secure, the systems are vulnerable, if there is a data theft, it leads to a security risk. Operational risk, things like the total operations not being proper, no proper support mechanisms available, the priority or the severeness of the issue not getting handled properly is operational risk. And people risk. So people risk include, say, trained people leaving the organization, skill set gap, resource utilization risk. Underutilizing or overutilizing. So, if a resource gets overutilized, then it'll just cause more burns and the employee might just leave. So, there's a risk in that as well. So, ISO 31000 is an international standard that provides a structured approach to risk management. 31,000 provides a very valuable framework for organizations to identify, assess, and manage the risks effectively. ISO 31,000 aims to provide a framework for organizations to integrate risk management into their decision-making process and the overall management system. It helps organizations understand and address risk proactively to enhance resilience and achieve their objectives. So, ISO 37001 is a framework that provides a systematic way to manage risks. As we said, we consciously or unconsciously manage risk, but this puts a framework where you systematically manage in the form of decision making, overall management systems, addressing the risks proactively to ensure the overall effectiveness and resilience to achieve the business objectives. This ISO 31000 applies to all kinds of organization. So regardless of their size, industry or sector, it is applicable to both internal as well as external risk that affect a organization's ability to achieve its business objectives. Maybe a organization has people risks or process risk or financial risk in the form of low capital investment needed, or the organization might need more funding to enhance the business processes, etc. So these are more internal in nature. And then there are external risks like the success of a product or the acceptability of that particular services, the effectiveness of that particular service in catering to the demands of the market. So these are more external risks in nature. External risk of suppliers not providing the goods in time, threat from competitors, threat in entering a new market. So these are external risks. So standards can improve the effectiveness of risk management by providing general guidelines and drawing attention to the three principles and the activities that are required. So let's look at some of the key aspects. Now, risk, how is risk defined in the parlance of ISO 31000-2018? A potential event that could have a negative impact on your objectives. It could be anything, right? So missing a deadline to submit a report for regulatory reasons, or it could be missing a product launch date, or maybe missing a deadline due to an accident, as it's listed here. So it could be a potential event that finally impacts the business objectives. And what does risk management include? The coordinated application of policies, procedures, and practices to manage these risks. Risk assessment is the process of identifying, analyzing, and evaluating the risks. Now, two things here. One is risk management is a whole framework, a coordinated application of procedures to manage the overall risks. Now, what does it include? It includes first the risk assessment. So first you identify the risks involved. Maybe there's a human risk involved, there's a financial risk, etc., etc. And then there is a risk treatment depending upon the type of risk involved. So the selection and implementation of the action to mitigate the risk is a part of the risk treatment. ISO 31000 gives a list in order to in the order of preference on how to deal with risk, right? So let's maybe quickly look at that. Avoiding the risk by deciding not to start or continue with the activity that gives rise to the risk. This is the top preference, right? Avoiding the risk completely. by not starting. I mean, that's not good for the business objective. Or maybe starting the activity or not to continue with the activity that gives rise to risk. So then the idea is to identify what is causing that risk and then mitigate it. The second is to identify or increase the risk in order to pursue opportunity. So you accept that there is risk involved, but you still pursue the opportunity because it's a business risk. It's a calculated cost benefit analysis that you've done, and you still want to continue, which is increasing the risk in order to pursue this particular opportunity. Say for example, you want to venture the product in a new business market. This means there is risk involved in terms of a large amount of capex involved, right? But at the same time, you don't want to miss out on an opportunity. So you weigh your outcomes versus the investments involved, and then you proceed to that particular path forward. The other thing is to remove the risk source. Now, although it seems very easy to remove the risk source, but this is a major step in terms of identifying, taking a corrective action, and then planning a completely new approach where the risk source gets removed. In many situations, the risk doesn't get removed, but the effect of the risk might be reduced, right? Changing the likelihood of the event, changing the consequences, sharing the risk with another party or parties, including contracts and risk financing. So in terms of, say, contractual financing, there are certain risks involved if there are a lot of investments done by third party who've invested in companies, or if there is a financing deal which involves risk for execution. So say an organization has taken a certain contract worth rupees 1 million, right? Now, the payment of that 1 million is staggered. So it depends upon the milestones. If the company delivers, say, X amount, then it gets some amount of money. If the second milestone is, say, 70% completion, then it receives a Y amount of money. So there is a risk involved in terms of the milestone. What if the people leave? What if the project becomes irrelevant? What if there is a new technology? What if there are licensing risks involved, etc., etc.? So putting those risks as part of the contract becomes part of the risk financing. Retaining the risk by informed decision. So you take a decision, you take an informed decision, calculating the benefits and weighing the risks, and then taking an informed decision. So what are some of the principles of risk management about ISO 31000? So ISO 31000 is based on a set of principles that guide effective risk management practices. These risk principles include, first, risk management is an integral part of any organization process. And also the fact that risk management is tailored to the organization's context and objectives. Right now, every organization might not have the same amount of a risk. For example, risk would depend upon the nature of business, the market in which the organization operates, the financial leverage, etc., etc. So risk or risk management, as it is mentioned, it's an integral part of doing business, and it's part of every organization process, but it's different and customized for organization depending upon their end objectives. Risk management is systematic, structured, and timely. Risk management is based on the best available information. I mean, obviously, the way you've analyzed the situation, you've brought about the different outcomes, it depends upon the information that is available. Risk management has to be transparent and inclusive. so as to know what is the risk involved and what is the advantages. Risk management is dynamic, iterative, and responsive to change. Risk management facilitates continual improvement and enhancement of the performance. Stakeholders who need to be aware or act on a risk. So, who are these stakeholders? So, executive level stakeholders, obviously, it starts at the very top. Role holders in the entire risk management group, risk analysts and management officers, line managers, project managers, compliance officers, internal auditors, and as well as independent practitioners. ISO 37001 provides a flexible and customizable framework for implementing the risk management within an organization. It consists of several key components. First is to establish the context. So, understanding the internal and the external context in which the organization operates, as well as the objectives of the stakeholders. Now, again, needless to say, depends upon the nature of the business, what is the organization trying to achieve. So, if the management has given a guidance of, say, 30% market growth, so you should look at the external context in which that market growth has to happen. Does the market have enough growth capacity, the TAM, that is a total addressable market, have enough growth capacity for the 30% growth to happen? If that 30% growth has to happen, what are the different financial linkages involved? What are the different market conditions involved, etc., etc.? So, establishing that context is important both from an internal as well as an external perspective. Second, after that context is established, then comes the step about risk identification. So, identifying the potential risk. So, for getting that 30% market share, what is it that the company is putting it at risk? Is it putting its reputation at risk? So, 30% market share means ensuring that the product reaches the masses really fast, which means the assembly line has to work really fast to ensure that product comes out fast. Does it mean compromising on the security standards? If it means, then it could give rise to reputation loss, because if a substandard product is given to the market just for increasing the market share, this might relate to reputation loss. So, identifying which are the potential risks, it may arise either from internal or external sources of external sources which affect the overall achievement of the objectives. After the risks have been identified, you have to analyze the risk. So, the risk analysis, assessing the likelihood and potential impact of the identifying risk and prioritizing them for further action. Fourth is the risk evaluation. So, after you identified the risk, you've looked at the potential action, then you evaluate the significance of the risk based on the likelihood and how they are impacting the response strategies. So, what is the impact that that particular risk has on the business objective is calculated in the risk evaluation. And finally, is the risk treatment. So, developing and implementing risk treatment plans to mitigate the risk or accept the risk or sometimes transfer the risk. So, you work on certain strategies and you transfer the risk, you delay the risk, or avoid unidentified risks. And last is, after you've chosen a particular strategy to move ahead, you monitor and review the progress. So, monitor the effectiveness of risk management and review the risk management process regularly to ensure that it is continued suitably and it's effective in its outcome. So, what are some of the benefits of the ISO 31000 risk management framework? The first is enhanced decision making. By considering the risks and opportunity and decision making process, organization can make more informed and effective decisions. Improved resilience. Effective risk management helps organizations anticipate and respond to risks, thereby enhancing their ability to withstand and recover from adverse effects. Better resource allocation. So obviously you know what kind of resources to be allocated in terms of say financing resources, human resources, etc. And then after you've taken the steps for risk mitigation, continual improvement, there is enhanced stakeholder confidence. Continuous improvement. So ISO 31000 encourages organizations to continually review the processes and improve the risk management practices. Let us now look at the common criteria for information security evaluation. So this is part of ISO 15408-2022. The common criteria is an international standard that establishes a common framework for evaluating the security of information technology products. Now let's look at that. So it aims to provide assurance that these products and systems meet specifically security requirements and can effectively mitigate the security risks. It provides a standardized approach for first specifying the security requirements, so defining a set of security features or functionalities that a product should possess. So when you define a minimum viable product, along with the features or the functionality, you also document what are the kind of security features. So say for example, if I'm launching a service, say a free Wi-Fi for citizens, I should also include a set of security features. So is it password protected? Is it time bound? Is it a dynamically changing password? Is it secure by saying that is the access locked to a particular device, etc., etc. So a set of security features along with the functionality is something which is required here. The standardized approach also includes evaluating the product conformance. So providing a methodology for assessing how well a product meets the particular security requirements means that the product is conforming to the security standards that are envisaged. Increased confidence in security. So by using a standardized evaluation process, organization can gain higher confidence in the security of the products that they deploy. So if there is a common criteria of how the security product, security processes are evaluated, so then it gives a lot of confidence to even the department owners, saying that yes, the processes are in place, the products conform to the standards, which brings a lot of confidence. Improved interoperability. The common criteria, because it's common in nature, they promote a common language for security, facilitating communication and collaboration amongst vendors, evaluators, and users. So because these are common set of criteria which could be interoperable, so it sets a common ground for the use of the common criteria. Reduced evaluation cost. Now, because the approach is standardized, it allows for the reuse of the evaluation results across different contexts, potentially reducing the redundancy and the costs. What are some of the key components when it comes to common criteria? Yes, so we'll talk about them. So first are the parts. Now what are these parts? These are five different parts. So I know this sounds a little confusing, but just bear with me for a little time and you'll come to know what I'm talking about. So part one is introduction of a general model. Provides an overview of the Kromann criteria, concepts and terminology. The part two is the security functional components. So it defines a catalog of security functionalities that can be included in security requirements. Part three is the assurance. So a set of assurance requirements to evaluate the trustworthiness of the development process and the security features of the product. Part four is the framework for the specifications of evaluation methods and activities. So providing a framework for defining the evaluation methods, activities tailored to the product. And the fifth are the predefined packages for security. So offering predefined packages, so this helps the repeatable business. The common criteria with the predefined packages reduces the effort for specific product categories and thereby streamlining the evaluation process. The first component that we saw were the parts. The second component are the protection profiles. Now, what are these? These are application specific documents that define the security requirements of the particular category of IT products. They are based on the functionality and assurance levels as outlined in the common criteria. So what does this mean? Application specific documents. So documents catering to a particular application and the application's security criteria. Say if the application is interfacing with the external world, and giving you an example of application programmable interface, then how secure are the APIs? That's part of that particular application with security specific related to that particular external facing application. Security targets. So these documents describe the specific security features and functionalities of a particular IT product and how it meets the criteria. We looked at the example of providing Wi-Fi for the citizens, right? Now, in this case, the security products and functionality would be, say, a time-based access, a access restricted to a one particular device, a password-protected access, access bound by one particular geography. So, these are some of the security features and functionality for that particular product. In this case, it is more of a service, but it is defined by the requirements. The other part is the evaluation of the assurance levels. So EALs, as properly called. Now, there is a difference between a service level warranty and a service level guarantee. In this case, the common criteria define seven assurance levels. Ranging from EAL 1 to EAL 7. So EAL 7 is the high rigorous and independent development. The chosen evaluation assurance level determines the depth and rigor of the evaluation process. The common criteria doesn't guarantee a perfect security, but still it gives the framework, right? How the risks have to be planned out. What are the different steps, how the different requirements are gathered, different product engineering features and risk mitigation techniques are applied. So common criteria certification, it doesn't guarantee, but verifies independently that the security claims made about the evaluation products are accurate. So documented policies in place, ensuring a rigorous and standardized evaluation process, emphasizing on quality and consistency. While this particular approach doesn't eliminate all the risks, it helps to mitigate by ensuring products meet the specified security requirements. This particular certification also adds credibility to the security claims and enhances the confidence in evaluated security products capabilities. Wow, let us now look at another standard, which is software product quality requirements and evaluation, popularly known as SQUARE. So this is part of ISO 25010. The quality of a system is the result of the quality of the system elements and its interactions between them. So the overall effectiveness of a system is a result of the different elements, and software quality is the degree to which the software product satisfies the stated and the implied needs when used under specific conditions. Different people will experience different quality of the software very differently, because quality is the value to some person. Some person might perceive higher quality of the same product, while some person might not. So as per ISO 27010 or the SQUARE standards, software quality can be defined, managed and measured in terms of the following two categories of broad categories of quality. First is the quality in use, which relates to the outcome of human interactions with the software. So quality, so this would include things like UI UX, so user interface, how easy it is to for a user to navigate through the system, how is the user experience. So this is more relatable to the human interaction. And the other is the product quality, which relates to the static and the dynamic properties of a software. So say if you are using one particular application for trading on the financial markets, the quality in use would relate to how good is the user interface. Are you able to create a watch list very easily? Are you able to punch in your orders, buy orders, sell orders, etc., etc.? The product quality is the actual effectiveness. If you've punched in an order, how fast does the order go in the system? Does it get triggered at the same price, at the same time, etc., etc.? So that is the product quality.